What's up, fam? Welcome back to the Whoa, That's Good podcast, y'all. We have a good conversation happening today. I wish we were already recording when I got Saz on the phone because she is already dropping truth bombs. I have Saz from the podcast, The Good Life. Man, I'm so excited to have you on our podcast.
Oh my gosh, baby, how are you? How's my baby, honey?
Oh, your baby is so good. I'm just glad you haven't eaten her yet. That's why
I'm craving
her.
You named her Honey. Do you understand? Like, I literally think that she is just a glob of honey. I want to eat her sweetness. Just, every time I see that baby, I'm like, give me that baby.
She's the best. And your kids are the cutest. So you have plenty of sweetness up in your house, for sure.
My hands are full, that's for sure.
For sure. Well, Saz, we have a great conversation ahead of us. But before we get to all that, I have to ask you the question of the Whoa, That's Good podcast. So, Saz, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, my gosh. right there in the hot seat. I love this advice that I got right when I started creating this whole influencer career before influencer was even a thing. I had started a beauty blog, and I just remember I had seen it was online, and it wasn't a specific famous figure or person. It might have even been a Facebook status, but it said, never compromise who you are for what you want to be.
Wow.
And I really liked that because during that time and in my life, I was just really trying to figure out, well, who am I and what do I want to be? And so to know that you do not have to compromise who you are for your dreams and your goals and your aspirations, I just thought, dude, that's going to stick with me forever. And it really has.
That is so cool. I love that. Okay, let's talk about this for a little bit because you said you started this whole thing before it was really a thing. Well, now it has become a thing. And so many people listening are probably trying to start their Instagram or their blog or their podcast or whatever account they're on, their YouTube channel, their whatever. I mean, that is a thing. A lot of people want to be influencers and it's a great job to have, honestly. But it's a hard job. I think a lot of people think it's an easy thing. You know, you just get lucky.
Yeah.
You just end up famous. You end up viral. And I don't know many people that that's the case for, honestly. Most people really work very hard to get to that point. And so tell me about that journey for you. What did that look like starting it and where you're at now?
Oh, dang, sister. How much time we got? You guys got some coffee, some tea, some popcorn? Okay, here we go. Once upon a time, there was a young girl who was about 19 years old. And I started really dreaming for, like, what is it that I want to do in my life? I feel like that's around the age, right? We've, like, graduated high school. We're, like, in our early stages of college and figuring out what's the career path of our choice. And so I really started dreaming up of, you know, what was that career? What would that look like for me? And so at the time, I really loved storytelling. I loved how media and news gave us this ability to just connect with an audience. And being from, you know, Texas, I was going to school in a small town, Denton, Texas. And I just remember feeling really inspired by just this ability of being able to connect. Now, granted, at the time, social media and all this stuff was there. It was slowly on the rise, but it was not necessarily a thing like today where it's just a part of everybody's life, everybody's business, et cetera, et cetera. So I remember in college when I was studying radio, TV, film, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do journalism. I'm going to study specifically television, news, media, all of that. And then when I graduate, I'm going out to LA. I'm going to just really give this thing my all. And while I was doing all of this at the same time, personally and behind the scenes, I was also learning and discovering who I was. I was going through sort of like my early midlife crisis and identity crisis, if you will. And I was really lost. I was really confused. I was just trying to figure out my life on a personal and a professional level. And I felt a lot of weight, a lot of pressure, and like I needed to find answers now. And I think that's kind of what happens. It, for me, when I look back, you know, obviously living a life at that time, I did not know God. I did not have a relationship with Jesus. It all came on me. It was all on my plate, my shoulders, everything. The strength that I had was coming from me, myself, and I. And I just burned out really quickly and, you know, went through a hard breakup. And at that time, I thought, well, I can at least focus on my career and let me just go really hard on my career. That's what I thought was the healing. It was like, okay, when one thing doesn't work out, like this relationship I had put so much thought and energy into, then I need to go to the other way. Like I want to do TV news, broadcasting. Let me just chase that 110%. And then I'll eventually forget about this mess. I didn't even understand where you begin when it comes to healing and all of that. I was just like, let me go to the next thing. Let me stay busy. Rebound, so to speak. And so I rebounded into the career mode, school mode, graduated. And I quickly felt like, you know, I'm not content. I feel like this isn't enough. I was always feeling like, okay, I need to chase the next thing. And so it was actually when I was backtracking a little bit, when I was in college, when I met my husband now, Stevie, and we were both studying radio, TV, film. And I was just so drawn to his ability to light up a room. I thought, oh, he's definitely going to be like famous on TV. Do probably like sports broadcast. I mean, he's got the it factor. And I remember looking at this confidence, right, that this other person had. And I thought, I need that. I need that. And it's because I also thought, I have to have that. If I'm going to be live camera action, TV, news, reporting, interviewing celebrities potentially, I thought, I need to be more confident. And I thought that it was something that I could easily just watch somebody who had it and thought, oh, I can try to learn how to be that or emulate that or figure out what's the tips and the trick to be that. But really, it was an internal transformation that my body, my spirit, my soul needed to go through. And so it was in college when I found Jesus. I got radically saved in my dreams. And I'm literally diving deep into this because it's a huge part of the career that I ended up choosing. And I just remembered, you know, praying and asking God. I had just really reached rock bottom. And then I saw Stevie, who was just someone who exuded this confidence. And I said, I want that. And the more that I got to know him, he was talking about this Jesus guy. And I thought, well, how can I get to know him? I want to sign up for that. And I was never afraid to ask those questions, you know, sometimes as new or people who don't believe, right, in what you believe, it's like you get very hesitant, right, about even sharing what you believe, sharing the love of Christ. And I remember being hungry, like I was so hungry for it. And I would just ask Stevie all these questions. And then he just said to me, he said, you know, if you ask God to tell you who he says he is, he's gonna tell you that. He'll reveal himself to you. And that's all he told me. And I said, okay, well, what do I got to lose at this point? So I went home that night and I prayed and I said, hey, God, I probably haven't talked to you in a while and not in this way. But I just want to know if you've been here my whole life. Heard some of my cries, my prayers. I was just like, does this even make sense? This is weird. I'm talking to myself in my room right now. And I just was like, praying, right, for the first real time in my life to God, right? And it was that night in my dream, I was literally in a church in my dreams. It was like this big room, which was filled with people who were obviously believers. And I was in the back of this room and kind of in the midst of a crowd with people who had their hands up in the air and they were worshiping Jesus's name. And I remember in this dream feeling like my spirit was coming to life for the first time. I woke up and it was no question about it. I instantly called Stevie, my good friend at the time, who's now my husband, and said, whoa, what did you do? I was like, what is this? Gosh. And he said, okay, I did not realize God was going to show up that fast is what he's thinking.
Wow.
But that was the beginning of a journey now that I was going on to get to know this incredible Jesus, right, that we hear about in history. He's a figure. He's somebody that a lot of people followed and a lot of people hated. And that at this time in my life, I just wanted to get to know who the real Jesus was. I wanted him to come to me. You know, I wanted him to show me. And he was right there. He was right there I opened my heart. So I get
so
radically
cool.
saved. And then I started really rethinking some things in my life. I started working on a lot of stuff internally that I was tucking away. And then I realized I'm going to LA. I'm going to give it a shot, this whole TV thing. And I just was not breaking ground. I just was not, it was like, I was definitely a small fish in a very big pond. And I felt, and I was also a very, you know, new believer in my faith. I by no means felt like I was equipped spiritually to mm-hmm. combat some of the lies and some of the things that were coming at me. And God was literally there every step of the way. And at times I literally came face to face with the Father. And I remember it was after 6 months of grinding it out in LA, my bank account was literally down to zero, pretty much. My parents were helping me at that point, but they said, girl, this is it. You know, you've got to come home. It's breaking through.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb.
And I thought it'd be all easy, right? And I just remembered thinking, Sadie, I was like, I've got to figure something out. And then I just remembered feeling like, go to the bathroom, and I had this moment in my small little bathroom in the apartment, and the lights were off, and here I am just crying on the floor of my bathroom and came face to face with the Father, and God literally spoke to me and said, you're going to do the one thing that you have in front of you that at the time I had, but it wasn't anything serious. It was this blog that I had had throughout college. And that's where it was this moment of like, obedience. And I did not, the human in me, in my flesh, I did not want to do that. I knew that path was going to be a little bit longer. It was going to require more effort, more work, more prayer, more trust. And then there was this other path where I thought I could literally go to an audition and book a job and then have a great career ahead of me doing TV journalism. And then it's set. But God had different plans. And I had to surrender to that. And it was when I surrendered, when things in that space started to evolve. And I felt like I was watering this thing that I didn't even know what it was going to become. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. But like you said, it was never an overnight viral thing, overnight success. It was just like you're growing a flower and it's just bloomed, it's blossomed. There's been seasons where I've had to prune it back and, you know, start over. And I just love that this path is not a path that I would have chose, but I'm so glad that I ended up doing it, because now it is just, as you know, it's an amazing opportunity and it's a blessing that we have the opportunity to step on these platforms and do these types of things like podcasting and getting to do it for a living. It's just such a blessing and it's so cool. So I'm like, thanks, God.
That is incredible. Like, there's so many moments in your story that I want to stop and like shout out and be like, listen to that. Do you hear that, people? Do you see that? Because it's just, even from the beginning where you said, you know, I thought I was going to be the hero of the story and that it was all going to fall on me and I had to do this and I had to do that and I had to do this. And then you are looking around and you're like, okay, well, maybe it's my career. Maybe it's my personality or maybe it's my this. And then it actually was just, you had to come to the end of yourself and realize, I can't do it. I can't muster up the confidence. I can't be creative enough. I can't be this enough. And the thing is I think many of us, you know, try to rely on ourselves to do all these things. And the world is promoting that message. Live your truth. Do your thing. You do you, boo. Yep. All that stuff. Well, the problem is you doing you, boo doesn't take you very far, because you, boo, can't find the confidence that only God can give you. And I love that moment for you where you're looking at Stevie and you're like, what does he have that I don't have? Well, on the outside, looking at you, you're stunning. You have so much talent. You have so much creativity. Everybody else would say, oh, she can do it. She has the confidence. She has what it takes. But no one. It's only by the power of God that we actually have power, that we have true confidence, true joy, true peace, true success. That's so good. I just love that before you started a career that is based off of you. I mean, it's fashion and it's beauty and stuff like this. It's not rooted in you. You know, it's rooted in Christ. And that's why it's successful. And it's just so cool. I love that, you know, you had to take the hard route too, that it was a blog and you had to pour in and invest. And I read this quote from you and it says, when God gives you a vision, when he lays something on your heart, see it through. Sometimes following him looks really, really crazy to everyone else. But when you step out in faith, he will never fail to meet you there. And I just thought that was like such a good quote. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, one, the faith to start something. Because the faith to start something is hard. I mean, starting anything new takes faith. I know y'all are starting a new product line, SNS, that takes faith. But then there's this other side of things, and it's actually the willingness to commit to something that also, I think, takes faith. It's one thing to start it. It's another thing to commit to seeing it through. And I think a lot of people sometimes get past the initial faith to start, but then they don't have the obedience, if you will, to see it through. So in your life, how have you married the two? Like when it came to starting the blog and seeing it through, like you mentioned, I've had rough patches. I've started over. I've done this. I've done that. How did you say, like, this is what I'm going to continue to do, even though it looks hard, even though it doesn't look like it's working? Like, in those rough moments, how did you decide to stick with what you were doing?
So good. And I think that's something that we can all relate to, even in our personal lives. You know, you're talking about coming to the end of yourself. I feel like I go through that every day, you know, whether it's through motherhood, through my marriage, through this whole evolving online social media world and craze. I constantly feel like I'm having to stop and just first and foremost, like, get myself in check and realize, like, hold on, like, I am not steering the ship. And it's so easy for me, being the type 3 achiever, Enneagram, you know, the personality test that I've taken. I'm like, number 1 is always like the go-getter, the doer, the Monica Geller from Friends, who's just, that's like, awesome. go. And I think God has really taught me that this journey together, him and I going on this path, and then it's a blessing that he's also brought Stevie into this. So it's like the three of us together, it's truthfully a covenant here in this, in our marriage, awesome. And also in this path. I think what God has shown me is like, he's not concerned about the perfection of my heart.
Yeah,
and I shouldn't be either. Instead, he's looking at the direction. And if I can just focus my sights and my compass, my internal compass on where he wants me to go, then I'm not going to end up in dead end alley. And so often I do end up in the dead end when I realize, uh-oh, I just did I just fell into the trap. I fall into these traps. And if I'm not checking myself and if I'm not checking in with God, right, I forget that. And so often I too forget that God the Father, he is literally with me every single day and everywhere I go. He's with me in the moments where I felt shame. He's actually with me in those moments when I feel growth or I've committed something that I may look at and say, oh gosh, this is so shameful. He's there in those moments. And then he's there with me at the top of the mountain, right? When we're celebrating our victories. And I think so often it's, we think like, okay, God is up there and I'm down here. I need to do all of the things in which I feel like I need to do to be a good steward and a good daughter of Christ and all of these things. Mm-hmm. But God has really taught me in life and even in my business that you can do all of the things by the book, but dude, you've got to understand, like, the relationship with God, it looks like a roller coaster sometimes, and that's okay. It does not have to be this perfect ride and this perfect journey, like I was saying, with the whole striving for this perfection thing. And so God has just, honestly, and this is a good example, is like, God has just taught me to, like, follow him. As much as I'm trying to go sometimes the other way, God is like, it's like a father, right? Literally, I see Stevie with our daughters sometimes, and they'll try to like drag him to go in one direction. And he's just kind of quietly, just kind of like there, but they always end up turning around and going, staying close to him, right? They trust his direction. And I want to be that way with my father, right? In heaven. And so an example of this was after I had my second daughter, I just felt like, man, I was in such a good groove. I was getting up in the mornings before having a second baby, and I was just like really committed to getting up at 6 a.m. every day and structuring out this time with God and getting in the Word and having my quiet time. And I would do this all while having, you know, Teeny, my other little one. And it worked out amazing. I said, oh my God, this is like the best season of life. Anytime I did that, I felt like giving God the first hour of my day, it just made the rest of the day, no matter how it went, a winning day. He would just somehow provide me with the strength, the time, the grace. And I was like, oh, it's because I put in that hour with him.
Right, right.
But you know what God said to me when I had Amari and I was struggling with getting into the Word? I was like, well, I'm making time to get on Instagram. I was like, I'm literally start picking myself apart. I'm like, I'm just the worst. I need to set time aside. I need to go read my Word, all this stuff. And God literally said to me, he said, in this season of your life, I don't need you to sit with me. I'm trying to get you to walk with me.
Wow,
and that's what I needed to obey. And I needed to obey that in my personal life as I was navigating motherhood and also in my professional life. And when I said, okay, I guess, and I would, you know, just follow where God was taking me. He showed me so much in that obedience. And I sometimes feel like the internet world and social media and our careers, and you'll probably agree, it sometimes feels like that. It feels like you're navigating through this unknown terrain. We don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Some days we show up and we're like, God, what do you even want me to say today? How can I serve this community and do it well, how you would do it? And sometimes he doesn't respond and you're just like, and you have to tune into all of those things and not just feel like you always have to focus on the perfection, on the structure.
Yeah.
God doesn't need us to structure him into our lives. He needs to be at the core of our lives and come, like, bring him along
through
the good, the bad, the shameful, all of it, you know?
Come on. It's so good. You're dropping some whoa that's good left and right. When you said, God's not looking at the perfection of our heart, but the direction of our heart. I was like, dang, that's so true. I just want to stop for a minute because I love how you hear the voice of the Lord. Like, you have these moments where the Lord said something to you and it's just been a pivotal moment in your life. And for those of you listening, if you're like, God's never talked to me, God's never spoken to me, I wish God would talk to me like that. going back to how your relationship with God even started, it really started from Saz asking the Lord, like, God, have you heard me? Are you here with me? And the Lord responds when you begin to ask. And, you know, for me, moments in my life where I feel like the Lord has spoken to me, I haven't heard an audible voice, but it's kind of like what you said. It's like a, wait, what? Like, it's like a, oh, mm-hmm. I just heard you say that. Like, you know, it's not that you heard it, but you could not convince me that he didn't say it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I heard enough to know that that is exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly how I need to move. But there was no audible voice. It was just directly to my heart. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And when it aligns with the word of God, and it is spoken in such a way that your spirit leaps, like, I think that's how the Lord speaks most of the time. So I just wanted to make that point to those who are listening who are like, that's crazy. Does God speak? He speaks in his own way when you ask him, when you sit with him, when you walk with him, when you tune your ear to hear what he has to say. So cool. This is such a great talk. So I love how throughout your whole career, like, you have grown to such a successful place. Like, you have over a million followers on Instagram. Y'all have like over 20 million, however, and probably more than that now, downloads on your podcast. I mean, you've succeeded in such a great way. And a lot of people, when they make it like this, I feel like they think, okay, well, now I cannot talk about God because that is very unpopular, because I will get unfollowed. And we've talked about this before. We talked about this at a retreat we were on. And we have so many of our friends who are struggling with this. We've struggled with it at times when it's like, you know, you're trying to steward a following that you have, and you're scared that if you come out too strong with religion or with your faith or about Jesus, then people are going to be offended, or people are going to unfollow, or people aren't even going to give you a chance. And so how have you pressed past some of those fears when it comes to sharing your faith on social media and being afraid that it might hurt your social media platform?
For sure, Sadie, that's a really good question. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. And I have definitely, I've had to pray about that. I'm like, God, I just feel like I am not, for example, I feel like I'm a, if you think about somebody who bridges the gap, like bridge the gap, I'm like, I feel like Stevie and I are right in the middle of that gap. A huge part of our community is secular. It's people from all different beliefs and walks of life. Yeah. I don't want to scare them away or make them feel like you're not welcome in my house, or you can't sit at the table. And then the other side is like, yes, people who are of the same faith, and that's great too. And I'm just like, God, how do I steward this? How do we usher this? How do we speak in a way that does give us that Christ-like aroma, but also it's just from our heart and it's real. And it's just kind of like, you can talk about anything and everything, because as humans, we go through it all, and you can relate on so many different levels. And I just feel like, for me, what God has shown me is just the power of understanding, like, at the end of the day, I don't care how many followers you have, how many books you've written, how many collaborations you have in the making, or how many brands are watching you. I just have come to a place finally where I know who my provider is. And sometimes we put Instagram and we put all of these other platforms that provide for our families, like, these are the things that also help me feed my kids. We get, there's fear. You literally feel this like crippling fear that you're going to do something wrong, or you're going to portray God in a way that is just not real. You just worry. You worry so much about the unknown. And I'm just like, I can't do that. Like, that God, if you're doing anything out of love, you can do no wrong. Love is ultimately what is going to cancel out fear and hate. And so if you step up, whether it's in your workplace, in your home as an influencer, or even online as an influencer, you can really do no wrong if you are speaking from a place and a pinpoint that is coming from your heart and from love. Yeah. And either way, as you know, Sadie, people are going to disagree with what you believe, and you'll see a forum start to roll out in the comment section. And you just sometimes have to give that to God and just pray that, Lord, I can see that a lot of hearts are hurting out here, and it's just too much for me to carry. And so, you know, use my platform for good and help me continue to do exactly what it is that you are calling me to do. And it's a lot of just constant conversation, I think, with God for us. And there's been a lot of times where we have felt that. We have felt cornered by something that we believe that is on our heart and that we feel like we know we need to share. Like you just like you were talking about when you hear from God, when you get those certain convictions and things that you're just like, I do feel like the Lord wants me to share this.
Right.
I take a step back and I think, okay, God, well, how? You know,
yeah.
God likes us to go to him with questions. So I'm like, if he's going to be the manager in my career, he's obviously led me to where I am today.
Yeah.
Well, then tell me, manager. I'm like, how should I do this? So it's like, sometimes you got to sit with this stuff and you just shouldn't rush it. And so that's kind of been my way of showing up on these platforms is just being myself and then letting God lead the way on some of the harder topic stuff that I know I should talk about. And I'm just like, Lord, show me how.
Yeah.
Like, how do I do it?
That's so good. It's so intentional. And I love how you said it. It's a lot of constant conversation with God. And a lot of times what I've noticed recently is I ask God these questions, like, you know, or even tell him about these fears I have. Like, God, okay, I want everyone to know that, like, I love them and that they are welcome here, even though we might disagree and even though I might be very strong in my convictions and all of those things. And I'm like, God, like, how do I manage that? And a lot of times I feel like God will just say back to me, like, I know how you feel. And then I realized, oh, wow, you went through the same thing. And to think that, like, Jesus in the flesh, who was Jesus, so, like, fully God, fully human, fully love, but also fully truth, he sat with the sinners. Like, he invited the sinners in, and not only did he invite them, but he went to their houses. And I'm like, well, teach me how to do that, you know? And I think sometimes, like, religion has painted this picture that, you know, if you are a follower of Christ, you are holier than thou. But that's not the picture Jesus painted. The picture Jesus painted was going to the party and sitting with the sinner, you know?
But
fully love and fully truth, you know? And so I want to be like that, where I'm not throwing away my convictions. My convictions are still fully strong, but I'm also fully loving like Jesus. And I'm definitely not holier than thou. I'm your friend, because Jesus was your friend. And he wasn't the Pharisees' friends. He was the sinner's friend. And I love that. And so a lot of times the things that we struggle with and we ask God how, or we ask God why, or we say I'm afraid, the Lord will quickly come back and say, I felt the same way. And then we get to learn from how he, you know, how he did it perfectly, seamlessly. And
that's powerful.
Isn't that cool? I mean, it wasn't perfect and he was persecuted. We have to look at that side too. Not everyone sat at the table.
Oh, he had haters.
Not everyone sat at the table. Not everyone stayed in the house. He had haters.
Right.
Not everyone believed. And that's when Jesus said, hey, if the world hates you, it hated me first. There's this empathy in that too. Man,
that's amazing.
This is such a good conversation, because I feel like social media is just so hard to navigate in general, and there's not enough conversations about how to do it well. One thing I love about your social media is how funny you are. Like, you and Stevie are hilarious. Y'all are nuts. And, like, I
we are
feel
nuts.
That.
That's a great word. Yep,
y'all
are
nuts completely. But, look, I feel that way, too. And sometimes I feel like it's hard to express, like, all your humor on social media, right? You have these little squares, and it's like, how do I let people know who I am in this fullness? Because people want to pinpoint you to one thing. Like, one time I was at this acai bowl shop, and it was, like, Tampa, Florida or something, and this girl looks up from making my bowl. She goes, oh my gosh, are you that religious girl on Instagram? And I was like, is this what I'm known as? Is this who I am? You know, like, what? Why did I get pinpointed as this? But it's just, like, so funny, because it's like people would just, like, think you were this one thing, and you're like, actually, I'm a whole human. Well, y'all are like, y'all do such a good job at all the things. You know, y'all are hilarious, y'all are truthful, y'all are relatable. Is y'all's humor on social media, is that intentional? Like, have you always, you know, portrayed your funny side on social media, or was that a shift at some point where you started being like, you know what, I'm going to show more of, like, the silly side of me and Stevie?
We fell in love in college. I mean, you look at him and I was just, like, cracking up. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And then I've always had this quirky, goofy side, you know, and sometimes I've reserved it or I've held it back, or I'm like, this is embarrassing, I shouldn't do this, you know. But we've always just been naturally goofy. And I think sometimes we notice that we can get a little heavy, because you are, like, on this wave and you're just like, oh man, God is doing stuff. We got to talk about this on the podcast. And then we notice, like, whoa, we're getting a little too heavy here. We need to relax and take a chill pill. Yeah. And even when life gets hard, sometimes, and we literally have a funny story. There's times in our life where everything is going wrong. Like there's times in the day where I'm like one thing after another. It's just, you know, one of those days. And we literally have looked at each other at times and just busted out laughing in those moments. You know, when you're just so angry or you're just like, what else could possibly happen? We've literally busted out laughing. And I'm like, you know what? That's kind of what the good life is. The good life is not a life where hard and difficult doesn't exist. You know, good, in fact, and hard can actually coexist. And I believe that that is part of living a good life. It's not a great life for a reason, because good can be great. And there are days where you just cannot see the good, right? It's like not every day is good, but there is still good in every day. If we just look up we look around and we choose to unwrap the gifts and the blessings that are literally right in front of us. And that is something that Stevie and I constantly are checking ourselves with. And we're just like, okay, hold on. Life is, it's not that bad. Let's take a deep breath and let's laugh a little bit. And when we do these funny videos and stuff, it is just, it's our permission, just like it is when you do your dance videos with Christian. I mean, it is just your permission to show also the funny humor side to life. I mean, God is a God who's not just like, all right, I know everything and I'm perfect. And, you know, I've got emotions as well. I mean, God has a sense of humor, you know? So to be able to share these gifts and qualities that God actually put in us and has given us, why hold back? In fact, I think that sometimes can be the key, right? That invites people into your life in a way that feels very relaxed. I've always been somebody who does this weird thing. When I'm uncomfortable or I'm awkward, I'll be the first person to like humiliate myself to break the ice in the room or to make somebody else feel comfortable. And so Stevie and I can continue to do these videos. The ultimate purpose and the intention behind it is ultimately to invite people in and to come and sit. Like, if our social media platforms are a home, let's invite people in virtually. And it's like, if we can do that through the window of humor, I just feel like that's so relatable to real life. When you meet people for the first time, you're not immediately getting into like the deep stuff. You're always relating on a very human, common thread level about something, whether you're wearing something they like, or it's just a very simple thing. And then that kind of opens up the heart, and you can let people in on a deeper level. And so you and Christian do such a great job at that too. And when you said that you went to the acai bowl place and she said to you, are you that religious girl? Hey, when I get stopped, it's always like, are you the girl that's always talking about her mustache? I'm the hairy Middle Eastern girl. What's up, homie? Yes, I got 5 o'clock shadow. You know, it's real. So we all have that stuff, girl.
Hey, it's just a hairy Middle Eastern girl and a religious girl doing a podcast together. That's hilarious. I love it. That's so good. I love how you just give permission for good and bad to coexist, because it's true and it has to. That's life, you know? Like, there are good days that have bad things in them. There are bad days that have good moments in them. And it's just how it is. And I remember when Christian and I did our first dance video. It's actually a bad day. And Christian came in and he said, like, what do you need, babe? Like, what would make it better? And I said, I need a cookie and I want to dance. That's literally what I said. I was like, I need a cookie and I want to dance. And honestly, it's what the doctor ordered. I made some cookies and Christian agreed to do a dance with me that I promised him I would not post. And then after we did the dance, he said, that's hilarious. You have to post that. And you know what's funny is I have the same mindset about social media. I'm like, I speak a lot in public, and a lot of times when I speak, it's on really heavy topics, and I don't want to always be the one talking about the super serious stuff, because again, that's not the only thing in life, you know? Right. And I feel like when you just talk about the serious stuff, like, people don't have the ears to hear it if they're like, are you even human? Like, do you even relate, you know? And so I feel like the more I can be totally human and relatable and a friend to people on Instagram, it opens the door for them to know, like, I'm a friend, I'm family. So when I say something serious, it's from the point of you already knowing I love you, you already knowing what I look like in my good days and my bad days, you already knowing I'm fully flawed and fully human, and I'm saying this seriously because I seriously believe it, but that doesn't mean that I'm perfect in doing it. And so I do think that Instagram is a way for people to truly know you, and so that's why it's so important you don't build your platform on someone that's not you, you know, that you don't build a fake platform and you are always filtered or you're always perfect, you're always this, you're always that, because when you get in person, when people see you in real life, you know, then they're who is that? And I think you're always hiding. Yeah. I think, you know how you talked about that perfection thing? I think sometimes we put that perfection on ourselves and we're always comparing ourselves, not to other people, but to a version of ourself that we can't reach. Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible feeling to feel like you've created a fake version of yourself that you can never be enough as, whenever God actually created you in his image and that's enough. So anyways, just such a good conversation. Okay. So we got to shout this out because you and Stevie just started SNS Goods. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about where people can find it and really just like why y'all wanted to start this, because y'all do so many things and you do it all well. And so why this new project?
I just love you. You're so sweet. You know, it's on the outside, it may look like we're doing it well, but on the inside, we're just such a small team. It's him and I pretty much trying to figure this thing out in a world where today's market is very heavily saturated. And, you know, when you feel like you're being called to do something, it's like this next dimension calling. There's a lot of unknowns and you're just like, what do we do? And again, it's like, it's a faith driven thing. You have, everything is, you're just like, God, if we're going to do this, you have to lead the way. And so for us, right before the pandemic, we, God, like, once again, spoke to us, and both at different times, but literally the same week. It was crazy. But the Lord basically said, you need to sell your house in LA. And this is after just 2 years that we had been planted there. We had at the time Teeny, who was about a year. And I'm just like, what? We're just now getting comfortable here. And it was in 2019 when the Lord just kept speaking louder and louder, you need to sell your house. And he wasn't telling us why. I was like, really? God, I mean, can I just get a clue? I mean, I'm about to pack up my whole life. My industry is technically here. It's like, what? So we finally said, all right, let's just put it up on the market and see what happens. It sold in less than a week. And we thought, now what? So we ended up coming back to Texas, which is where we're originally from, just for the summer. We thought, if anything, you're going to die, by the way. Stevie, his way of God speaking to him was through a tampon box.
No.
It said, he said he was using the restroom and my tampon box was on the toilet thing. And he said, when God told us to sell the house, I saw the word jumbo on the box.
Jumbo.
And he said, I feel like the Lord is telling us possibly he's just going to give us a jumbo loan and we're going to get this bigger house.
No way.
He's like, let's just, I'm like, babe, I cannot with you. You need to go. You need to go sit down. He was just really hungry and thirsty for, you know, when you're just like, maybe God's saying this. Maybe not.
Exactly.
All we knew is we were tucking away, going back to Texas for the summer while still keeping one eye on LA and seeing what was going to happen in the market. Doors were not opening. We were not seeing any possible opportunity to come back to LA. And that's when we decided, let's just go away for the rest of the summer. After 3 months, we went to Europe in the fall for a month, and God was speaking to us like crazy on this trip. And in short, it was through the number 9, which sounds bizarre, but we had been praying all summer for the Lord to give us a sign. Where are we going? And every single hotel that we stayed out across Europe, this was in so many different cities. Every single hotel room number was the number 9.
Wow.
When I looked up the number 9 biblically, I said to Stevie, I say, well, what if this is God speaking to us through the number 9? And I'm like, well, what do we got to lose? Let's look it up. When we looked it up, it was one of those things, like you were saying, when the Lord speaks to you and something hits you, it hit me. And what I had read about the number 9 was that it is the number of finality. It's the final judgment. It's right before completion, right? And so it just felt like in that moment, the Lord was saying, hang on, you're almost there, right? And that's when God spoke to us and we said, we're going to stick this thing out. We go back to Texas. And shortly after that, Stevie said, we just need to go back to L.A. He said, we should just go back to L.A. and we need to be there on the grounds and really figure out what's happening here. And God, all of a sudden, I just started crying. And I was like, what? Why am I crying? It was like Holy Spirit tears. Yeah. I was like, what's going on? And I said, I can't go back to L.A. We have to stay here. And it was in that moment where something hit me, like, you actually are going to be planted here. And even though it didn't feel 100% right, this is where we're going to be. And we ended up sticking around. We went and looked at one house one night at 9 o'clock at night. We looked at it. I'm like pushing the number 9 thing. But we looked at this house and it was everything on our prayer list, right? So we said, well, let's go look at it and see what we have to lose. They didn't even argue with us. They said, oh, you get the house. And we were like, what? How? And it was just, you know, when God is leading the way, doors are going to open quick and they're going to close quick. And that door to Texas opened. And during that time, we did a lot of tucking away deep into our hearts, into our spirit, asking the Lord, what is this next chapter of our life going to look like? We have these platforms. We have this podcast. We have this amazing community. But what is the message that we truthfully need to pour out and into people's lives? Hmm. And we tucked away, and God was really sharing with us that the problem in the world for Stevie and I that we felt like we were going to be a part of solving is the problem of discontent. Hmm. It's something that him and I have also struggled with, trying to chase the next best thing, wanting more, getting to the top of these mountaintop milestone moments, millions of followers and success, and then feeling like, well, now what? Hmm. We've been there. And what God has shown us is that being happy and finding everyday joy, you can find that in the ordinary. And so often we forget that goodness is all around.
That's right.
You just have to stop, love where we are right now, despite the daily challenges, and trust that God is going to take us exactly where we need to go. And that's where the whole Stevie and Suzanne S&S world came about. It is a world where it's our virtual home. It's where we want to encourage people. We want to inspire people. We want to create the most premium content that is just that we're on fire for, you know, that God is putting on our hearts. And then we have this little tiny nook of a gift shop on there that's called S&S Goods that we have dreams to take to bigger places and bigger heights. But it's all through that line of like loving where you are right now. I think that's such a powerful, timely message today more than ever. It's like truly finding joy every day, despite not being where you want to be or how you want to look. And that is where we want to help fuel and inspire people and pray for people. And that's it. That's what we're doing. We're cultivating the good life one good day at a time. And we're just so blessed that God has led us to where we are right now, that we can do that. Authentically.
That is so good. That is such good advice and so timely, because I think social media kind of eggs this on in our culture that there's always something more and there's always something better and there's always an opportunity around the corner. And in theory, that's not a bad thing to believe. I mean, we serve a God who goes from glory to glory to glory. We serve a God who, you know, can do abundantly more than what you can think of, ask for, dream of, or imagine, all these things. But I think we have this problem in our culture because of that. There's always something more, there's always something better, that no one's content with where they're at. And they're not willing to commit to where they're at. And a lot of times the good and the abundance comes from staying where you're at and committing to something and seeing it through. Not from going here and going there, because what you're looking for in abundance is not something that you're going to ultimately find one day. It's something that you can literally obtain right where you're at by who God is and the contentment of knowing you're right where he has you to be. It's not like waiting in LA or necessarily waiting in Texas or waiting in New York or it's where God is. So when you are where he is, that's where the abundance is. And so when you're following his lead and you're following his move, and I love how you said one way you can know how God's really speaking and kind of spirit check if he's really speaking is if doors start flying open, if opportunities start, if it really just happens, you know. And the Christian, I always pray that. If we say, God, I feel like you're moving in this direction, we always say, okay, God, give us green lights all the way, or give us red lights. We don't want the yellow. Yeah. Like, I don't want the, like, in between. I don't want, like, is it this? Like, give me a green or give me a red. If it's green, we're going. If it's red, we're stopping. And just that obedience in that moment. But I love what y'all are doing. What I love about y'all is, you know, this podcast called The Good Life. A lot of stuff what y'all talk about is the good life. Your life looks like the good life. But you're not just saying, hey, look at me, live the good life. You're bringing people in and welcoming them in on this good life. And not making it a perfect life where everything has to be good and great all the time. But good existing with the reality of life and things that happen. And thank you for just creating that space to be human. And to be real in a space where you walk in your convictions, but everyone's welcome to join in. And so, friend, you're awesome. You're a huge influence for me. I always feel like I get lost in our conversation, like I'm just talking to a friend, because I am. But truly, I'm like, wow, a lot of people are going to listen to this, but it feels like I'm just encouraged today. So thank you for being on the podcast. Thanks for all that you do. Just cheering you and Stevie on and your sweet family all the way.
I love you, Sadie, and everything that you do inspires me. Like, you are beyond your years, and honestly, what you're doing for your generation and for so many young girls who step on these platforms day in and day out to be inspired, you're not somebody who is just, look at me, look at the things that I have. You just share, like, you are literally, you've laid down your life for Christ, and you've done it in a way that is so effortless, and I know it's not that easy, but, like, you do it in such an authentic way, in a cool way, and a very non-traditional sort of Christian boxing yourself into a Christian mold kind of a way. You're just really amazing. And it's just no coincidence why you are where you are today. You're a young mom, but you're a freaking hot, amazing, talented mama. And I've got to spend one-on-one time with you, and you're just the real deal. You not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. So thank you for having me on this podcast. This has just been so fun. And I want to come back. Next time I'll bring Stevie if he behaves.
Come back. Hey, I think we laughed the whole time. But please come back. And thank you for what you said. That really means the world. I think we'll have to have you back because everyone's going to love this conversation so much. Well, love you, friend.
Love you.